Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. All right, there we go. All right. So, we have been, oh my goodness, talking about a lot of things. And I was sharing a series called Spiritual Architecture and Design for Life prior to the holidays kicking in and the new year and all those things. And so what we did was we spent some time talking about the coming of the Savior being born and during Christmas time. We had 2 weeks of that, and then we got into the new year and kind of getting focused and getting ready for what was going to happen. And so now, and then, your pastor hadn't taken any vacation, so he decided to have a little weekend with his wife. That was all right with you last week, but you were in the hands of the apostle. So he definitely shared a message of what it means to be saved. And so now that I'm back, we got to finish off what we were talking about in spiritual architecture and design for life. And I believe that it is appropriate because if we're talking about exalting Yeshua to the extreme, if we're talking about a way to do that is focusing on the things that need to be changed in our life and things that we need to be doing, because there's two dynamics. Sometimes we need to stop doing the things that we're doing, and then sometimes we need to start doing the things that we need to be doing. You get that? And so this is very appropriate. And what we're talking about, spiritual architecture and design for life. So just a real brief summary of what we were talking about. Go to Ephesians, the second chapter. When we're building this life, and we have to build and we have to rebuild, because problem is that we were living an old life. The old man, the old woman. And then when we became saved, we became the new creature, right? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so in that process, there are things that need to be evaluated. There's things that need to be, we need to look at to be effective believers for the kingdom. Who wants to be effective? I don't want to do anything if I'm not going to be effective. And so even as believers, we want to be effective believers. We don't want to do this thing because it was tradition. Grandmama went to church. So that's why I started going to church. You know, I was made to go to church too, like some of you, you know, and there was times that I didn't want to be to church. I want to do some other stuff. And we came out of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. That's where Apostle got saved when he first got saved and came to God. That's the church we were in, apostolic. If you know anything about apostolic, the only church, the only day that they're not in church is the day that you're not breathing. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was like meetings all the time. Does anybody know that experience? You in church all. Oh, I mean, it's like, come on, dude. I mean, we just left. And we going back and we going to Saturday. And we there Saturday till 10 o'clock and still got to come back Sunday morning? Yeah. And so, you know, as a young kid, you know, it's like, okay, you're making me do this. So the word says train up a child in the way you should go and they will not depart from it, right? But there's a gap. Train up a child. Wait, let me start here. That's your reference. Train up a child, right? And when he's old. Train up a child. And when he's old. Something's happening in the middle. Right? It's part of that journey. Right? So in the middle, I had a departure. But I what? Return. Because if it's, you ain't had no departure. I always saw you in church. Just because you saw me in church doesn't mean that I was what? About church. And it took me going through my own trials and tribulations where I forged a relationship with the Savior. Because there's going to come a time where you can't ride on mom and daddy's coattails. You got to stand and speak for yourself. We used to do a song. I'm bound for Mount Zion, way out on a hill. And if anybody make it, surely I will. And then said, if my mama don't make it, surely I will. If my daddy don't make it, surely my, if my grandma don't make it, we was going down the line. But the whole thing, the gist of it was what? You, and the word tells us, you gotta what? Work out your own salvation with what? And don't mean scared, fear, but the reverence. You reverence God. And so all the things in between, and I tell people all the time, okay, so train up a child. When he's old, he won't depart from it. When we saw Yeshua, we had a snapshot of him in the temple at 13 years old, around 12 or 13. And then his mama was looking for him, Mary. And she was like, it's time for us to go home. You know, let's go. And he's like, I'm tending to my father's business. But then we don't hear back from him until around 33 or 34 years old. So what was happening in the middle? He was growing. I'm not saying he departed. What I'm saying, he was growing because the word says he became more what? Grew with wisdom and knowledge. And so this is the things that, there's a journey. You guys are on a journey. Tell your neighbor, you on a journey. You're on a journey. And listen, you know, only by the grace of Yahweh, we have some time. But we have time to change. How do I know we have time to change? Everybody take in a deep breath and release it. As long as you can do that, you have time to change. As long as you what? There's time to change. There's time to make adjustments, okay? And so this is what this is saying to us. So go to Ephesians 2nd chapter, 10th verse. I'm going to use the time that I have left. For we are his workmanship. That's who we are. Created in Mashiach Yeshua unto good works, which Yahweh hath ordained that we should what? Walk in them. That means he's kind of commanded us. This is, if you want victorious life, you should do this. You need to walk in the things that I've prepared for you, right? And so we're created. So when we come into this saved life, we've been recreated and we are his what? Created in him. And if you're created in him, then the demonstration of that is what? Good works. So you should be just demonstrating what? Good works, right? And so go to Ephesians, the second chapter, you're still in the second chapter, go to the 18th verse. So, okay, so if we're supposed to be doing this good work, how do we get this thing started? Ephesians 2nd chapter 18th verse says what? For through him we both have what? Access by one spirit unto the Father. So that there's something to happen. What does access mean? We have entrance. We have an ability to go to. Right? So whatever it is that we're going through, we have what? Access. Say, I have access. I have it. By the Holy Spirit, I have access. I can go directly to him. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. We don't need no intermediary. We can go straight to him. That he made it that way through Yeshua that we would have that access. And the 19th verse says, now therefore, you are no more what? Before we were strangers and foreigners. But that's not who we are anymore. We got relationship. Right? But fellow citizens, right? This is what I'm talking about. This is the government. We belong to the kingdom government. So we're fellow citizens of the kingdom government. And I'm so thankful because, like I said earlier, we can't even get our government to. They on some other stuff. But see, I believe that because we are of the higher government, we can put the word in our mouth and something will change when we speak the word to it. I believe that. Who believes that? No. I don't know if you believe. Who really believes that? I put the word in my mouth and I can speak to stuff. So I can speak to the government system. I can speak and things will what? I believe that. And so we're fellow citizens with the saints. Look around. You're not by yourself. Look at all these believers that have the same access, and there's things that we can do individually in our lives, but then there's some powerful things we can do together. And of the household of Yahweh, 20th verse says what? And are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Wait, this is the foundation. The word is the foundation. Yeshua, the word, the living word. This is the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Yeshua Mashiach himself being the what? And so this is the problem when we're rebuilding and building our lives. Sometimes we're not on the right foundation. And he's saying, listen, I need you to be on the right foundation. And if you're not, you have access to the Father that he will tell you, you out of pocket. And he speaks to us very succinctly. He speaks to me a certain way. You know, if I'm saying stuff out of pocket, he'll say, shut up. Because he knows he needs to be that strong with me. Some of y'all, he can see, shh, in the still small voice. But me, he got to say, shut up. Anybody he say that to you? You know, I believe, you know, he knows how we are, so he knows who needs the stronger. But that's the access. And so he's always telling us stuff, man. And this is the thing. I don't understand why people can just try to put on the dog on Sunday like they're saved. But then you got a whole week of stuff that you got to navigate through in this world. And you cannot navigate this world effectively unless you got the power of Yahweh working in your life. So everything that we teach is relevant for you. And listen, this is an empowerment ministry. We're teaching you tools that you can go out. You don't have to say, I got to wait for my pastor to pray for me. No, you can lay hands on yourself. I can agree with you, but in that moment when I'm somewhere else and I'm 30 miles from you, you can believe yourself. I'm so thankful for the saints of Yahweh. Some of you were in Sunday school, and we had, is mother here? She went to go get checked out, right? One of our mothers, she kind of fell out. You know, there was something going on in her body. And immediately, the saints of Yahweh laid hands on her and began to pray and intercede. And she was laying prostrate on the floor. And as we laid hands on her, she started speaking in tongues. And then all of a sudden, she leaped up. Come on, y'all, that's the power that we have operating in our behalf. He knows what we need. And then the people that were there, instant in prayer. So this is a kingdom thing that we do together. This is an empowerment thing. And then if we need to come in together and agree, we can come and agree. But there's some stuff that happens when you by yourself. Come on, y'all. You're not always with somebody. Sometimes you by yourself, but you got the power of the Holy Ghost that's able to operate in you. So we got to understand that this is, we got to take this thing seriously. We've got to get on the right foundation if we're not. And then the Holy Spirit will reveal unto us, listen, you're not doing the right things, or you're doing some things that are not right. Right? You're not doing the right things, or you're not doing the things that you need to be doing. And so we point out the things to you in the Word, but also the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. All right, so we got to get on the right foundation. And then we said these things are at stake. And we had a whole list of things that were at stake. And it was, the kingdom is at stake. We're counting on you. Tell your neighbor, I'm counting on you. Because there's some things that can happen when we are all on top of our game. So the kingdom is at stake. Our lives are at stake. Our health is at stake. Our family, our church, our future, destiny, purpose, knowledge, foundation, mind. Our minds are at stake. Skills and talents, character, integrity, and our finances are at stake. And so there are things that we need to rebuild in our lives. And that's why I'm loving this exalting Yeshua to the extreme in 2018. We want to do that. But how do we do that? And so what we're doing is each month we're going to focus on a word. That we're going to have a theme word that's going to take us to that main theme. So we're going to focus. Say focus.
Focus.
Focus again. Say it. Focus.
Focus.
I was talking to somebody the other day. If I could be in perfect health, but as I'm walking through my house barefoot, and if that last baby toe hit the corner of my table, just a toe, anybody have, just a toe, you know, I got everything else, I'm good, but when that toe hit the corner of that table, I fell out. It took me out. And that pain reverberated through my body. Does anybody know what this is? When your pinky toe can take you out, there's a lesson there. Number one, you need it. But if that pinky toe is affected, I don't care if you 6'8". You coming down. So that tells you that when there's something out of whack with you, it affects everything. I mean, I'm like, I hit my pinky toe. Why is my head throbbing? And I was out, laid out for about a good 2 minutes, like, oh! But it's life. When there's something off here, it affects the whole thing. So that's why it's important for us to focus and get things right. Because there's something supernatural and great and powerful that can happen when we got everything in alignment, right? When I talk about, when people talk about prosperity, it turns me off because a lot of people are only talking about driving that car and having the bank account, right? Or having the mansion. And preachers will get up there and get people, yeah, you can drive the Rolls, ha, 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 ha. No. It's about more than that. What about peace of mind? What about your family situation? What about that? I don't care what nobody say. You cannot put a price on peace of mind. You can't buy it. Can't buy it. But I can pray. I can let Yahweh work in my life. He says he will keep thou in perfect peace. Shalom, whose mind is what? You ain't got to pay for that. It's free. And so this is what we're talking about. Go to Nehemiah. You know what? We like to use the Hebrew names. Nehemiah or Nehemiah, the fourth chapter in the sixth verse. Okay, so this is all about rebuilding and building. This is where we kind of got our wellspring scripture from. Sixth verse of the fourth chapter says, and let me just give you a preface. As you already know, in previous lessons, these were his children, the Israelites, who had gone through all kinds of, say, stuff. Wandering in the wilderness. And all the things they went through because they were hard-headed and wanted to do things their own way. Right? Isn't that how we are? We wander a lot of times. They wandered how long in the wilderness? 40 years. Well, some of you have been wandering for 40 years. Or 20. Or 10 or 15. Because you wanted to do things what? Say this to yourself. It's not about my way. But it's about your way, y'all. And so they came back to their homeland and everything was toe up. And he says, the wall was torn up, the gates. And so he says, built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a... Nothing can be built unless you have a mind to work or a mind to change. Right? Everything's always going to stay the same unless you have a mind to change it. Who's ever had to, and I will say this, I've been in a position where I had to lose weight. Why? Because I couldn't fit into my clothes. The choice is buy a whole wardrobe of new clothes for the new size, or make up your mind that you're going to get back to what? To lose weight, you have to make up your mind. Some of us, the doctor said, your cholesterol is too high. Well, I'm going to pray as I eat my fried chicken and waffles. That's foolishness. If your cholesterol is too high, you need to what? Stop eating the what? The fried food. Put down the pork chop. Bring in the turkey. You know what? We don't do fat back greens in my house. We do greens. But First Lady put turkey. Smoked turkey. Why? Because we gotta pull through this thing. Come on, turkey. I'm serious. I mean, you got to make choices, but you got to make up your mind. You know, if he's telling you that your sugar is too high, well, I'm going to pray as you guzzle down Sunkissed orange soda. Not even a can, a whole 2 liter. Come on, y'all. That's foolishness. That's not faith. And there's a difference. So what does that mean? If he's saying, if the report says that I got too much sugar, what do I need to do? Make up my mind that I'm going to change that. And that is why things are brought to our attention for us to change. The Holy Spirit brings things to our attention so we can change. Right? And don't sit up in that seat right now thinking that you're perfect. As raggedy as you please. with stuff that you know that he's told you that you need to work on, but you're not doing it. And so the only reason why they have been successful in rebuilding their city is because they had a mind to rebuild their city. And this is what I found out. A lot of people try to make, oh, yes, if you want victory, this, that, and the other thing. Like it's so, you know, it's so high of a concept. You know what I found out? It's real easy to get your life on track. Make up your mind. That's all you gotta do. Make up your mind that you want to be saved. Because some of y'all are not sure if you want to be saved or not. You don't want to go to hell, but you want to still do the things that you think that you should. So the motivation is not love, because you love the Savior and you want relationship. You are afraid that you're going to fry in hell. So you're not real.
Right.
In this where everybody say, I keep it real. You ain't keeping it nothing. Shut up. That's just that's foolishness. And we got to get out of this, y'all. We gotta decide if we want to be saved. Do we want relationship? Do you want relationship? It's as simple as that. Do you want to be on the right foundation? Simple as that. And so until we make up our mind,
come on,
he can't do nothing for us. And so we had these gates that they built and rebuilt. And so real quickly, I just want to hit the gate, the overall gates. It was the sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate, the valley gate, the dung gate, the fountain gate, the water gate, the horse gate, the east gate, and the Mahai gate. Now listen, all 10 of these gates had a significance to your salvation, your walk. It was significant to what was going on at that time, but also significant in them moving forward. And so if you read we already went over it. If you read the third chapter and the fourth chapter of Nehemiah or Nehemiah, you will understand that all the things that we're talking about had significance. They went and described what happened at each gate. And so we found, I'm not taking you through all the scriptures. Take a snapshot of that. And then it'll show you the third chapter and then the verse that corresponds to that, because we've already gone through this. Is just a quick overview. But the sheep gate told us that Yeshua was the only way in and way out. That was the only gate that was anointed. Showed us that Yeshua was the only way. And we went to the scripture, says, I am the way, right? I am the door, right? Enter at the straight gate. For what? Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but what? Narrow is the way, right? And so that's what the sheep gate was. The second gate, the fish gate, spoke to our willingness to follow and be fishers of souls. He said, follow me, and I will make you what? The perfect example of how to be a believer is look at Yeshua. Yeshua walked this walk. He's Yahweh, God, wrapped up in flesh. The word came down here because he looked around to find somebody that could do this, and he couldn't find nobody. Couldn't find no one righteous. So he said, I'm going to have to go down myself. And you know, there's scripture that says Yahweh is so righteous that he has swear by him. Because there's no other way. He swears by him what? Himself. So it's the only way. So it's fish gate. The old gate spoke to us the understanding that the old ways are the best ways. The foundational ways. You know, in this culture, we're being told that we gotta change up the word. We ain't changing up no word. I might change the delivery a little bit. You know, I'll break it down, you know, a little bit. You know, use a little Urban Dictionary, a little slang terms, you know, to help you, to lace you up.
That's one.
Get you tight, yeah, lace you up, right? But as far as what I'm speaking, I ain't changing that. The word itself, I'm not changing that because the word don't got to be changed. Why are you changing the word? What? The word don't have to be changed. The Valley Gate spoke to our understanding that you're going to go through some stuff. The Valley Gate was when they went down and, you know, they're making sure that things were okay, but, you know, you went there. You're going to have some low points in your life. Who knows what I'm talking about? It's not always going to be rosebuds. But no matter what it is that we go to Psalms. I got to help you out. I got to lace you in a second here. Psalm 34 chapter. Yes, we're getting it, young people. Are you on the cusp of what is, who is, and I won't use this term, I'll say young people, I won't say the other word. But that M word, the M word. Yeah. I don't want to say call you that because I heard that they don't like that title, the young people. But there's got to be a stop. I mean, you can't be 50 and a millennial, right? So can somebody tell me? Can somebody tell me what that age, what's like that last age of 29? So if you're 29 right now, you're on the last of your millennialism. Is that it? It's 29. No, there is a, because there's generation X. Okay, first of all, maybe we need to start with baby boomers. Any baby boomers in the house? Okay. So then after that, was it X generation?
Yeah.
And then millennials. Oh, so I'm just trying to find out where that X and millennial goes. But let's go to Psalm. And if you're a Hebrew scholar, Tehillim, 34 chapter 19 verse. Okay. Many. Okay, let me change it then to make you feel good. A couple. I mean, but that's what, you know, that's what people want. They want to feel good. I mean, you know, if I tell you there's only a couple things you're going to go through, then maybe you just want to be saved. But I can't do that. Because what does the word say?
Many.
What does many mean?
A whole lot.
Who's had many afflictions? What are our afflictions? Stuff we go through. Sometimes you take yourself through stuff that you didn't even have to go through because of your hard head, you done afflicted yourself. Because you didn't follow the word and you follow counsel, you afflicted yourself. So there's already many, and then there's the stuff that you do. Of the righteous, but Yahweh delivereth him out of
them all.
Somebody say hallelujah. See, that's the difference. You're still, when you get saved, you're still going to go through stuff. You're still going to go through stuff. But, so some people say, but God. But Yahweh. What? He delivers. That means he picks you up out of that crazy situation, lifts you up, and puts you in a position of safety. Somebody needs to thank him for deliverance. Deliverance. So sometimes we find ourselves in the, that there's not one situation that he can't deliver. Come on, if he can deliver Daniel, come on. on. You ain't been in no situation like that. If he can, the woman with the issue, come on. And I'm not even going to get into Lazarus. I mean, his situation was extreme. He was dead. And not only was he dead, he was stinking. But guess what? Yahweh delivered him out of that situation. That's what we're talking about. Them all. So, you know, when I look at the people in the Bible that went through stuff, the stuff that you go through ain't nothing compared to that. So, that's what the Valley Gate signifies, that we're going to go through stuff. He's going to take us through. Dung Gate. That was where they threw away all the trash. And so he's speaking to us about getting the junk out of our lives. There's just some junk that we need to get rid of. There's situations we need to get up. Hey, there's people.
Come on.
That you gotta eliminate. Because they ain't, listen, they ain't made up their minds. Listen. I can pray for you and I can love you. But that don't mean I need to hang out with you.
That's right.
I'm serious. Well, I'm trying to love them into. You serve a God that he's so powerful that I can be here in California and you in New York and I can love you. You around the other side of the world, I can love you. I can pray for you, but we ain't got to hang out. And sometimes that's dung. Go to Philippians, the third chapter. Dung is the stuff that you use for fertilizer. That's a strong word, Pastor Tom. It's not my word. It's the word's word. I mean, the word can be savage. I mean, the word can say some stuff that will drag you. Just like when he says a person returning, being saved and returning back to the old stuff is like a dog returning to his vomit. That's savage. But maybe some people need to hear it like that. He said he needed to hear it that way. Philippians, the third chapter. This is Paul, Shaul. One of the best deliverance stories on earth. He was killing Christians. He was dropping dimes on Christians faithfully. I mean, blood was on his hands in that regard. So you think somebody that messed up, surely they're headed for damnation, eternal. But on the Damascus Road, we serve a God that can transform anybody, that can change anybody. So now we got this dude that killed Christians, and now he's saying, but what things, go to the eighth verse. He says, yet doubtless, and I can count all things but loss. See, I had gain before, but I count that all as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua, my Adonai, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He had to give up some stuff to have relationship. And he said, but that's cool. Those things that I gave up, I count them as dumb. That I may win Mashiach. Some of the stuff that y'all got going on in your life, you got to count it as because it's keeping you from relationship with Yeshua. Straight up. And then skip here to the 10th verse. And this is the beauty. That I may know him. See, there are things that keep you from knowing him. And even I will say this. When you understand the original name, Yeshua, of our Savior, him revealing that to you, us, me, and how that name means he will save, he will deliver, he will rescue. That's a knowing. That comes with what? Knowing. If everybody called you Bebe in the street, but then I finally found out that your name is Lucius. Then now I know you. I mean, everybody was saying, yeah, you know, Bebe, you know, Bebe, you know, Bebe. What are all the other names y'all be making up?
Little T.
Pookie. Boo Boo. I mean, do you really know? You know, it's like, hey, do you know so and so? Do you know Boo Boo? Yeah, Boo Boo, cool. You know, no. Well, what's Boo Boo's real name? Oh, I don't know. Then you don't really know him. And so, knowing comes from what? And so the Greek word know is genosko, means a knowing that comes from relationship. Knowing that comes from having relationship, to know by learning of. So I'm so thankful that today I can say, I know Yeshua, and I'm getting to know him even more. And more and more. And every day is revelation. Every day he's revealing something. What? To us. And really quickly, I'm going to say that was the gate number 5, the dung gate. Number 6, the fountain gate was the water source for the city. And that signifies the Holy Spirit. Number 7 was the water gate. And that signifies the word operating in our life. And because I wanted to bring you back here, and this is the last thing I'll do. I will go to Acts, the 17th chapter, to talk about that Watergate really quickly. And then next week we will finish. Next week we will finally be done with all the gates. And that gives us everything we need for the foundation. But I have to share this morning as the last piece of this, okay? And so Acts, and this brings us up to where we are today. Acts the 17th chapter, the 10th verse. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul, Shaul, and Silas by night unto Berea. Because we're talking about how important the word is, right? Speaks of the word, it stands forever. And so who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. So then they had these guys come, and they, Shaul and Silas went to Berea. 11. And these Bereans, the 11th verse describes them, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why is that? I mean, God is not supposed to be a respecter of persons. Meaning, you know, he's not supposed to like somebody or favor one over the other. He doesn't. That's really up to you. These women were more noble than those in that they what? The Bereans, they received the word. So they were not only, but listen, I'm speaking to you today. It's nothing special about me. It's just about me allowing the Holy Spirit to use me to give you the word that's in here today, right? But some of y'all, as beautiful as you look today, or handsome as you came, You're not going to receive it. For whatever reason. Maybe you sleep. Maybe you tired. Maybe you stressed. Maybe you don't believe. Where I might ask you then, why are you here? But the people that really want Genosco relationship, the people that really want to get better, the people that really want to focus on relationship, they receive the word. And not only do they receive the word, but with all readiness of mind. Hey, you know, something happens when you lean forward. Something happens when you lean back. When you lean back, it's more of a relax. And I ain't getting on nobody. The lights are in my eyes. I can't see what your incline is right now. I can't. You guys just look like it's a bunch of people. I don't know three-dimensionally how you're positioned. But relaxed is not the position for learning. Relaxed is the position for sleeping. It's called body language, people. And there's something physiological that happens. When you lean back, your eyes tilt back. And when your eyes tilt back, your lids retract. But when you lean in, there's something that happens when you're sitting on the edge of your seat. It's saying that, hey, I'm going to hang. You got my attention. And I am going to hang on every word because, see, like Langston is. Now I can see you. I don't lean in. This dude is like, he's in. It means like he's ready. It's like, what else are you going to say? And see, my advice to you, if you're coming to church and you know you're going to be sitting for a couple hours, lean in. Lean in. Because it's not just a physical position, but it's spiritual. You're saying, Yahweh, I'm ready. I want to hear what your word says because I'm going to get a nugget. I'm going to get a revelation that's going to help me for Tuesday or that's going to pop out for me on Wednesday. And it says, and this is all about the word. And not only, hold up, and I'm going to let you go on this here. Because I know some of y'all ready. You leaning in for the keys now. You know, my keys, my purse. No. Not only did they do, but they, after they heard the word, they went out the doors. And whether it be wherever, they searched the scripture. Once a week. Once a month. 2 times a week. Daily. Whether those things were what? Or true. And so, Apostle used to say this years ago when he used to teach us. He was like, you don't believe what I say? If you can find something contrary to what I say that's true, I'll pay you $50. As far as I understand, he's never had a payout. Never had a claim against him. I challenge you, I'm not going to pay you $50. But what I will say, search the scriptures and find out if what this dude is talking about today is true. If these things are so. And something happens when we give ourselves over to the word. I don't I'm not saying that I'm better than you. When I search the scriptures and I'm readiness of mind, but what I will say is that I'm higher. And it has nothing to do with you. It's just that my attitude is I want to keep on moving higher. Father Yahweh, thank you for this teaching, Father Yahweh. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Father Yahweh, for you know the things that we need. You know, the things that we seek in you, Father. Thank you for even giving us the will to come here to worship, to seek your word, Father, to fellowship with like-minded believers. So we ask right now, Father, that you minister to us. Help us, teach us, lead us, guide us, Father. Even as we leave here, this time we look at the scriptures for ourselves and meditate, speak to us. Our desire is to be focused on the things you need us to be focused on. So right now, Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua, our desire is to speak. Speak to us. We want to hear you speak. We want to speak to you. We want to develop genosko, relationship. We thank you for that in Yeshua's name. Amen. Keep your head bowed really quickly. I just want to...